Today is Tuesday, May 16th. This is the Gemara Share. We're up to Moed Katan, Daf Yud Gimel, Yud Beis Amud Beis on the bottom of the page. Okay, Rabotai. We're up to Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. We just started the Mishnah. We'll reread the Mishnah and then proceed into the Gemara. So the Mishnah says, "Machnis Adam Peirosav Mipnei Haganavim." A person is permitted. We mentioned this last week. A person is permitted to go ahead and bring his fruits in on account of Ganavim. Vishole Pishtano Mina Mishre, and he's allowed to take the flax which has been soaking, and if it soaks too long, it's going to get ruined. Bishvil shelo teyaved, so it should not get lost, ruined. Ubilvad shelo yechavin esmachto b'moed, provided that a person does not deliberately intend to save that work for cholosh moed. Vikulon im kivnu melachtu b'moed, and everyone who saves their work to do it on Cholosh HaMoed, even though now on Davar Shel Chol, now it's a Davar Aved, nonetheless, you could have done it before and you didn't, so the Mishnah says Yovedu. As to what Yovedu means is a Machloikis HaRishonim. Take a look at Rashi, Yovedu, on the left-hand side of the page, the last Rashi on the Mishnah. She'osur lehanos mehen, that you are never permitted to derive benefit from this activity. So if I go ahead and do any malacha on Cholosh HaMoed, which I could have done before Yom Tov, and now I do it on Cholosh HaMoed because it's a Davar HaAved. But on account of the fact that I could have done it before Yom Tov and not engage in the Malach on Cholosh HaMoed, according to Rashi, I am Asur to derive any benefit forever from this Malach. So take a look at the sheet. The Rambam agrees with this. And he tells it, and he tells us a little more than Rashi does. How do we guarantee that the person who did the malacha will indeed not benefit from it going further? Says the Rambam in Perek Zayin Halacha Dalet, "V'asur le'adam shi'iskaven v'ye'acher malachos elu kayotze bohen." A person is not permitted to deliberately delay these melachos, ukayotze behen, and anything similar. V'yanichein kidei la'asosan b'moed mipnei shehu panui, and he will leave them over to Cholosh HaMoed because he's got plenty of time. He's not doing his regular job on Cholosh HaMoed. V'chol hamechavein melachto v'henicha l'moed v'asa b'moed bezdin me'abdin osa umafkirin osa lakol. What Bezdin guarantees is that it announces that this item is hefker and anybody can take it. So once anybody can take it, then you are not going to derive any benefit from it. You have no right to stop anybody from seizing it. The imkive. Okay, so then the Rambam continues with the next. Well, we didn't have to the Gemara yet, so we'll come back to that Rambam. However, not all Rishonim agree with Rashi and the Rambam. There are many Rishonim who disagree. So if you take page number 2, and this is the Meiri, Vishamala Pishtano Min HaMishra. Ritzono lomar shemotzi es hapishtan mitoch charit shel mayim. You take the flax out of this little hole which you filled up with water, shehanichu hasham, which you place there lishroso to let it soak, Mipnei yiras haganavim, if you're afraid that thieves are going to take the flax, o shema yifsad, or perhaps they'll get ruined by staying there too long. Ubilvad shelo yichavin melachto b'moed. As long as you don't deliberately delay this until Chol HaShamoed. Ha im kivein, if you did deliberately do this on Chol HaShamoed, afilu hu oved, even though it's a davar ha'oved, and normally a davar ha'oved is permissible on Chol HaShamoed, here, since you could have done it before, asur, it's asur. Vahusha Omar, and this is what the Mishnah has in mind, Vikulon Shekivnu Malachdan Bemoed Yovedu. What does this mean? Kilomar Manichin Oso Leoved. What Bezdin will do with this guy is they will tell him, just leave the flax in the water. Vein Matirin Lo Shum Melacha Mipne Avidaso. And they don't, they're not mafkirit. All they tell him is, buddy, stop doing the malacha. And Bezdin will make sure he doesn't do the malacha. So now, what's going to happen if you don't do the malacha? You run the risk that it's going to get spoiled. But let's say you're lucky, and it didn't spoil by staying in the entire Chol HaShamoed and the last days of Yontif. And now it's fine. So after Yontif, you can take it out and make your flax and derive benefit from it. So there's a fundamental difference between the Rambam and Rashi on the one hand, and Meiri as to how far we are going to punish him. Umigdoile ha-mechabrim, and the great mechabrim, that's the way the Meiri operates. Meiri quotes everybody, but he never ever says who he's talking about. He has given a nickname to every Rishon. This Rashi is Gedoyle HaMeforshim. Rambam is Gedoyle HaMechabrim. And he's got names for the Ravid and Ravid. Everybody's got a name for. You just have to get to know who he's identifying. So he writes, U'Gedoyle HaMechabrim Kasvu, She'im Asa HaMelacha HaMechuvenes, if you did this Melacha deliberately delaying it to Chol HaShamoed, Me'abdin oso heimenu. You actually cause a financial loss to the person, as the Rambam said, by Bezdin being mafkirin. Fahadvarim nirin. And those things are logical. Make some sense to me to be very, very strict, like the Rambam says. Even though he, Meiri himself, does not believe that that's what the phrase actually means. Right, and the reason why he believes that the focus is on the item as opposed to the person to be mafkirit is because he finds the similarity of words in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said v'shole pishtono min amisha b'shvil shalote aved in the second line. And then in the third line, im kivnu melachta b'moed yovedu. See, he plays the two words bishvil shalote aved and yovedu as referring to the same thing, namely the flax. Let it get spoiled. That's it. How will it get spoiled? By making sure that you don't do the melacha that you planned. Yeah.
How do you see Philip that he holds that he leaves it and doesn't get spoiled and can use it?
Because he never said one word about that it's asubahana. He never said one word about being mafkirit.
Well, maybe you just have to leave it there.
No. It's on Chol HaShamoed to leave it there. That's what it means. During Chol HaShamoed, you're not going to be able to work. V'uktsas ge'oinim kasvu, she'im hi melacha she'ein lo hefsed ba'avuda, kigon shehu uman ve'ein hamalacha shelo umamon ein lo lekanso bichtei shavya shekon sinoso b'shamta u'benidui ad sheyikabel olav din. What happens, says the Meiri, if we're dealing with a case where the person doing the work who deliberately delayed Chol HaShamoed is not the owner of the item, he's just a worker, what do you do then? So the Rambam says, what we do is, we put him in, you put him in Shamta or Nidun. You put him in Cherim. That's what you do. Because you can't punish him, you can't punish him by financial loss because it's not his. So he's not going to suffer any financial loss if you do anything to the item. It's not his. It's not his item. So then you put him in nidui in bischara, or perhaps you can take his wages. Exactly, permitted to take his wages. Under those circumstances, you garnish his wages. V'im lo gamar, and if it's he didn't complete it, konsinoso shelo yigmar. What you do is you tell him, just like we do the owner, buddy, stop working on it. That's it. V'lo nemru dvarim halol ela memechavin gamur. This is only said if he deliberately, actively, and with a sense of awareness, actually went ahead and did what? And did it, say it till after Yontif. Hashocheach, but somebody who forgot. Oh, misatzel, or he's just a lazy good for nothing. Velohela alibo lasses kain me erev yomtov, and he did not think about doing it before Yontif. Mutar la asosa. So he is permitted then to do it on Chalosh HaMoed, and that the Isur is only somebody who does it literally, mamish, deliberately. Mamish, deliberately. It might be. Correct. But the Mishnah always says, Ubevat shelo yichaveh. That's the case. Yechaven means you deliberately did it.
So no. Chatchila, if I forgot.
What?
This sounds like chatchila. If I forgot, then it's okay.
Yeah, he said if it be shachach, it's okay. Yes, yes. Continues the Gemara. Tana, we learned in a brisa. Ubilvad shiachnisem betzino letoch beso. The only time that we allow you to save things with Nehaganavim is if you do it Bitsina, not Bifarhesia. So the Gemara is going to quote a story of Rabbi Yosef, who apparently did it just the opposite. Rabbi Yosef heavily kishure. Rabbi Yosef had these beams lying around, and he was worried that somebody was going to take them. Ailinu biyamama. He brought them into his garage during the day on Chalosh HaMoed. Omalei Abaye, so Abaye said to him, for Hatanya we learned in a brisa, Ubevad shiyachnisem betzina betoich beisai. As long as you do it only betzina. So why are you doing it in broad daylight? Omalei, so Rabbi Yosef said to Abaye, tzina, dahani yamama, who? Tzina, dahani, the way to do things quietly and still ahead is to do it during the day. Why? Kevon de belaila ba'u gavre yisere. At night you can't see anything. So guys can't carry as much. You need maybe an extra person or two. That's number one. Uba'u miduchre denura, and you have to put up lights. So since everybody sees you making a big racket at night, avsha milsa, it gets more publicity than doing it today. During the day, I can have fewer people working. I don't have to put up candelabras or anything. So under those circumstances, Rabbi Yosef knew the halacha, but felt that in this particular scenario, doing it bitzina would be during the day as opposed to doing it bifar hesya, and that is daytime as opposed to doing it at night. Yeah. So take a look at page 3, which is the Ritva, who comments on the line of the Gemara we just read. Gemara, Tana, the Brisa says, Ubilvachi Yachnisem Bitsina Betoich Beso. V'hikshe Rabbeinu Hagadol. The Ramban is the Ritva's Rebbe, so he asks the following question. Shahare lo matzinu shehizkiro tzina mishum davar haavet. The reason why we allow you to bring in the wood in the first place is only because it's going to be stolen. That's a davar haavet. Asks the Ramban, nowhere have we ever found that when we allow a malacha on cholo shomoed to avoid a davar haavet, did we ever say that it has to be done b'tzina? We never ever said that. So why does the Braisa here, by this Dover Ha'aveh, claim that doing it b'tzina is what is required? Elisha Ose Kedarka. You're allowed to do it normally. V'hare Maka B'patish U'mashmi'a Koylai L'rabim. You can knock nails in and it makes lots of noise, but that's perfectly okay. It doesn't bother us. So why dafka here should we necessarily object to the fact that it's being done b'farhesia? V'tirates, and the Ramban said, gives us a golden rule. The bechol davar shegufo mamash nifsad v'avad, anything with a potential loss is directly in the chefza, in the item, like with the flax or something on the field. Under those circumstances, kevan shehefsedo nikar lo hetzrichu tzina. Since everybody knows that this, if you don't water the plants, they're going to die. If you don't take the flax out of the water, everybody knows that. And it's built into the item itself. Of those circumstances, you don't need tzina. Ki ulai mipnei kain yavo atzlus ve'ikul bedavar. Because if we are going to demand that it be only b'tzina, what might happen? Guy's going to be a little lazy. He's not going to want to do it, and he'll forget about it, and he's going to suffer this loss. Aval b'shehef said hu chutz l'gufo mamish. But where the financial loss is not to the item itself directly. The wood beams are not getting damaged. It's just that the loss is being caused by being taken by thieves. So hu chutz l'gufo mamish, kigon chashash kinavim. V'efshar la'asoso b'tzina b'loshim ikuv. And you can do it privately, quietly, without anybody bothering you. Hitzrichu tzina kigon zeh. Therefore, you had to do this case b'tzina. Ukigon hamolech umevi kelim mibeis ha'uman. As we'll learn next block, that if somebody is picking up utensils from a repairman, a repair store, that is again the Gemara will later say and explain that it has to be done b'tzina. It can't be done b'farhesia. Because there's a chashash that if you pick it up at Faresia, somebody's going to say you brought it to the artisan on Cholo Shemoed itself. So there, the concern is not the financial loss to the item, it's a certain secondary concern. So where it's a secondary concern, not the financial loss to the item, you always have to engage in a bitzina. So says the Ritva. The Magid Mishneh also quotes the Ramban, but he quotes a different Ramban. If you go to page number 4, where it says v'chein, the first bracketed entry, Mishnah Sham, Machnis Adam Esperosa b'nei Aganavim, u'b'gemaratana u'b'lvachi yachnisein b'tzina b'soch beisa. Od b'mishnah v'sholah pishtano min ha'mishnah k'dei shelo ye'aved. V'kosav ha'ramban shama, shema she'etzrichu b'hachnos asperos b'tzina, l'fi she'eino vaday ha'hefseid, el sofek v'chashash. The reason why, by the Ganavim case, where you bring in the wood or fruits, whatever's outside, is because there's no guarantee that a Ganav is going to come. When you're dealing with plants or fruit trees, you know that if you don't water it, it's definitely going to happen. If you don't take the flax out, it's definitely going to get ruined. Here, there is a possibility that a Ganav is not going to come. V'chashashu shema yignavu. V'chein b'chayotzeses. So the Maggid Mishnah quotes the Ramban a little differently. That the concern is, yes, that if it's vadai hefseid, you can do it even b'farhesia. But if it's only sofek aved, under those circumstances, you must do it only b'tzina. So there are two things cited in the name of the Ramban. Okay, let's continue the Gemara. So the Gemara asks an unusual case. Ba'u minei Rab Yirmiya me Rab Zera. Rab Yirmiya asked Rab Zera the following question. Kivein melachto b'moed v'meis. This guy deliberately delayed this melacha to chalosh moed. And before he got started doing anything, or maybe he did do something, let's say he did something, he died. So the question is, Mahu shiyiknesu banav acharav? Will we find the children who inherit this item that was worked upon on Chalosh HaMoed or not? So the Gemara is going to attempt to bring a resolution from two other cases in Shas where this halacha of a knas, does it transfer to the child or not? And see whether or not our situation is analogous to that case. Im tim tzolaymar, if you would like to suggest, tzoram ozen bechor is kansu bino acharav. The halacha is as follows. A bechor of an animal belongs to a kayin. So a kayin, if the animal is whole, blemish free, he has to bring it as a korban. So he has to schlep to Yerushalayim and parts of the thing. Let's say he's not on duty that day, so somebody else gets a chelik of it. But if the animal develops a mum, so the Torah says in Parshas Re'eh, Bishorecha tochlenu hatameva hatahor yachtav. The Kohen can eat it any place, doesn't have to come to Yerushalayim. He can eat it not only when he's tahor, but even what? Tamei. He's allowed to. Fine. So what some Kohanim used to do is they used to knock off the ear and make it into a balmum. And that apparently is an Issa d'Oraisa. How do you get, where does it ever say in the Torah that you're not allowed to deliberately make a mum? It's a drash. It's a pasuk we just read this past week in Parshas Emor, where the pasuk says in Perek Chabez of Sefer Vayikra, Kol mum lo yihyeh bo. Chazal darshan the word yihyeh to yehaveh bo. Don't make it happen. Kol mum, make sure you don't make it into a balmum. I don't know how the word yehaveh is indicative of you doing it, but that's what the Gemara says in Bechoros. Fine. Lo matalba. So there, under those circumstances, that's an Issa d'Oraisa. In our case, it's not necessarily an Issa d'Oraisa. Certainly the fine is not an Issa d'Oraisa. And what's defined by the Balmum? The Balmum is that the Kohen is never permitted to derive benefit from this animal. He's not permitted to derive benefit. So there we understand why we are Kones, we might be Kones Espino and tell the children not to derive benefit from this Bechor animal, because an Issa d'Oraisa was violated. However, by by Cholosh HaMoed, even if you believe the Isur Melacha is the Oraisa, even if you believe that the Isur Melacha is the Oraisa, the Isur to be melach, Mechavein Melachto L'Cholosh HaMoed is certainly only Midrabbana. There is no Din the Oraisa that says you're not allowed to push off a Dover HaAveh deliberately to do it on Cholosh HaMoed. That's only a Din the Rabbana. So since it's only a Din the Rabbanan, perhaps we may not necessarily fine the children, and you can't bring a raya from Tzoram Ozen Bechor. Now, Tosfos on the bottom of Yud Beis Amud Beis claims that this is the wrong girsa of the Gemara. That our Gemara, where it says the Mishum de Isura de Oraisa, it's a inappropriate girsa. Let's read the bottom Tosfos on Chol Yud Beis Amud Beis. Im Timtzelo Matzoram Ozen Habachar Umeis Kansul Beno Achrav Mishum de Isura Asa. Not necessarily the Oraisa, because an Isur was done. Aval Kivein Melachto Lo Asa Isura yet Adayan. When what happens is you set aside this Melacha, and as soon as you're ready to get started, what's going to happen? Bezdin's going to come and say, "Hey, buddy, why didn't you do this on, you know, 2 days before Yantiv? Why didn't you do this?" So the difference might be is that by Tzoram Ozen Bechor he already violated the Isur. So once the Isur was definitely violated, therefore a knas to the child might be in order. But in this case, it's only that he plans on doing the Melacha and Cholosh HaMoed. It could be that he started, but it could be that he didn't. Maybe Bezdin got to him before he even started. So it's just that he wanted to do it. And what will Chazal, what will Bezdin now tell him? So let's operate not like the Rambam and Rashi. Bezdin will tell him, "Oh no, you're not allowed to do it." Or if they tell him, they'll tell him, "If you did it already, what happens? Tough, leave it there. Sorry, leave it there." So he didn't take it out yet. So nothing has actually happened yet. He's anticipating doing the Melacha. V'lo tzorich lahagia d'oraisa, and you don't have to be goreis that Tzoram Ozen b'Bechor happens to be a d'oraisa. I don't know why. What is compelling Tosfos to make this girsa change? Tzoram Ozen b'Bechor is an isa d'oraisa. So what's wrong with highlighting the difference between our case and that case? Our case is where it's definitely midrabbana. Certainly, if you believe that all melacha and Cholosh HaMoed is only us midrabbana, and even as I said 2 minutes ago, even if you hold that Isur melacha and Cholosh HaMoed is us midaraisa, but lechavein melachto is definitely only us midrabbana. So the distinction between a daraisa and a rabbana is well known. Sometimes we're more machmir by a daraisa and less machmir by a rabbana. So what's bothering Tosfos simply to say that that it's a daraisa? Well, I don't understand. Rashi obviously had the girsa. Rashi had the girsa. Look at Rashi, the fourth line. Mishum the oraisa, mishum the isur the oraisa. Aval hai, says Rashi, the kivein melachto b'moed, the lavi sura d'oraisa hu, the habelo miskaven mutter legamrei. If you did not deliberately delay it to Cholosh HaMoed, it's mutter. Everybody says you're allowed to do this because it's a davar avi. So how can you compare the two cases? So Rashi had this. I don't know exactly what's bothering Tosfos with this distinction that one is d'oraisa and one is the rabbana. Don't know. Don't know. That's case number one. The Imtim Soloima. If you would like to suggest that in this case They do. Let's now see a different case. Machar avdo le'oivet kachavim v'meis kontsu b'no acharav mishum dekol yoma mifkalei mimitzvos hocha ma'i. The halacha is that when you purchase a Gentile slave, the Rabbanan do not want a Gentile influence in the house. So when you purchase a Gentile slave, the Rabbanan said you have 1 year to do the following. Either you convince this Gentile slave to convert and become an Eved Kenani al pi halacha. After he or she will go to the mikveh, if it's a male, he'll have milah, and they accept upon themselves all mitzvos of the Torah, except for mitzvah saseshes man grama, and like women are patur from, so they would be exempt from as well. Or if they can't, if they don't want to accept that, then your obligation is to sell the person to a guy. But after you went ahead and convinced that person to accept mitzvot, under those circumstances, you're never allowed to sell them subsequently to a Gentile. Why are you not allowed to sell them to a Gentile? Because you are denying him the potential to do a mitzvot. This Gentile owner is not going to let him observe Shabbos. And he's obligated to observe Shabbos. So under those circumstances, we would be kones b'no acharav. Because you are causing him to limit his ability to do mitzvot. That's why I would be kones to bino, the ben. Hacha mai. However, here in our case of kivin melachto shelechol shemoed, what would be the halacha? Gavra konis rabbanon for hol esei. What is the knas directed to by chol shemoed? Is it directed to the person? And the person's not here. Odilma mamona kanis rabbanan v'ha'ise. Or the knas is directed towards the item. It's not towards the person, it's the item. This item cannot be benefited from. And the item is still around. And therefore it might apply to a child. It might apply to a child as well.
The Rambam would say
that. The Rambam? Yeah, because it's mafkirin. That's correct. That is correct. Now, what exactly does a knas mean in this particular case? What exactly does a knas mean? You already went ahead and sold it. Okay, you went ahead and sold it. If you didn't sell them, there's no problem. But you sold them to the Gentile. So what now happens? So there are two possibilities. Some say that you are obligated to redeem the slave, go back to the buyer, and offer him a ridiculous price so that you buy him back. And then you have to free him. Now, once an Eved Kenani is freed, the halacha is, he or she becomes a full-fledged Jew. They immerse in the mikveh, and now they have been endowed with full Kedushas Yisrael. They observe all mitzvot, and they're allowed to marry within Knesset Yisrael. And Eved Kenani is not, even though the guy has undergone partial conversion, he is still not permitted to engage in marrying somebody who's Jewish. Now that he becomes free, so your fine is that you have to overpay to buy the Gentile from the guy. And then free him. So you paid the money and you lost the money because you sold him to a Gentile. That's one possibility. Other Rishonim talk about a situation whereby if the Eved runs away from the Gentile who bought him, so now you feel somewhat responsible, and you have a chance to capture him and bring him back. You want to do business with this Gentile. So I see the Eved, and I can capture him and bring him back to let him go to work. The knas is that you are not permitted to restore and return him to the Gentile owner. So if he runs away, that's it. So he succeeded in running away, and he will no longer be a worker of a Gentile employer. And now, wherever he's hiding, in any cave that he's hiding, he can become the next Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. He can sit and learn all his life and do all mitzvot that he can do. And you can't facilitate restoring him to its proper owner. That's how some Rishonim interpret what the knas is. What? Because this guy is going to be annoyed at you when he finds out that you had a chance to return him and you didn't. I paid you good cash for this guy. Why don't you bring him back? It's not as powerful. That's true. I don't know where to get that from, but that's what some Rishonim say. Yeah. So that's the Gemara's question. Is the focus on the item, or is the focus on the person? Amale, so Rab Zera said to Rab Yirmiya, Tani Tuha. We learned this in a Mishnah. Sode Shiniskavtsa Bishvias. If you have a field that you simply took the thorns off, they had the thorns removed on during the Shemitah year, so that when the Shemitah year is over, what you can do? You can start planting right away. That's why you remove the thorns and the things like that. Now there is a machloikis rishonim, what type of thorns we're talking about. Some Rishonim say that it's talking about that they were already cut. Therefore, removal of thorns during the Shemitah year is only an Issa Midrabbana. Because it's not Meleches Adama. Avoidas Karka is Asur. Avoidas Karka is Asur. So therefore, this is only Issa Midrabbana. Hence, you are allowed to plant right after Shemitah. Tizrael Motoi Shvitz. Some Rishonim say, no, that it's talking about removing these thorns even if they're attached. And that's not included in one of the melachot. Not every meleches adama is prohibited during Shemitah. The Torah stipulates which things you're allowed to do. You're not allowed to be tizmor, you're not allowed to be sivtsor, you're not allowed to plant sadchalos, you can't plant, you can't harvest, but not every melachot. And removing thorns is not one of those melachos. Even if it's attached, it's not one of those meleches adama that is asur midoraisa. However, nityava o nidyara, if you somehow fertilize the field by either spreading fertilizer or bringing animals who will relieve themselves, and that serves as the fertilizer, Lo tizra lemotzoi shviyas. You are not permitted to what? To plant on motzoi shviyas. Because fertilizing is something that's awesome. And as a result, Chazal punished you and said, you are not permitted to plant this field ever after shviyas. The Omer Rab Yosi Rab Chanina Naktinan, we believe, Heitiva Umeis bino zara, that if you actually fertilize the field and you and the owner died, the son is allowed to go ahead and plant after Shemitah. Alma lididei kansu rabbanan, librei lo kansu rabbanan. So we see from here that what? That the father, the owner, original, we find, but we do not find children. Hachanami lididei kansu rabbanan librei lo kansu rabbanan. So too, for us, we do the exact same thing. In our Gemara, in our Mishnah, we will only find the father for being mechavein melachto, but we will not be kones the child. So therefore, these two situations are analogous. Now, Tosfos, on the top Tosfos, he disagrees with Rashi that removing thorns, if they are attached, is not an Issa d'Oraisa. Tosfos believes that if they are attached, it's simple. We don't care if it's not the fruit or the grain itself. Once you do any bitsi ra, harvesting, cutting off the ground, that's an Issa d'Oraisa. And if it would be an Issa d'Oraisa, that would be even a greater chiddush, that even though you violated an Issa d'Oraisa, the knas will not apply to the child, only apply to the father in the resolution of the Gemara. According to Rashi, the whole discussion is an analogous one between Cholosh HaMoed and doing whatever you're doing on Shemitah. They're both Isurei DeRabbanan. But according to Tosfos, you can still resolve our case. Because if the Chachamim did not want to punish the child, even though an Issa d'Oraisa had taken place, certainly they will not be willing to punish the child if only an Issa d'Rabbanan took place. That's a perfect Kal v'Chaymer. That works. But there is the machloikis between Rashi and Tosfos is, what exactly are we talking about? Is cutting, either Tosfos says according to Rashi they were tlushim, they were already severed, that makes it a d'Rabbanan. Or according to Rashi, cutting thorns is always a d'Rabbanan, and the only d'Oraisa of Botzer is, as the Torah said, es kar mecha lo sivtzor, ves in vein yizirecha lo sivtzor. It's taking the fruit or the grain, that's not allowed to cut. But just to cut the thorns and things like that so that it will grow, it'll be easier to plant when the Shemitah year is over, that could be asur midoraisa. Omar Abaye, Naktinan Vipaskin, Time Tehorosav Vameis, Lokansu Rabbanan Acharav. The halacha is, based on those of you who are doing the Daf Yomi at the beginning of the Masechta, the Gemara had lengthy discussions about Hezek Re'iyah. Hezek Re'iyah. Or Hezek She'eno Re'iyah, where you can't notice the damage. The item looks exactly the way it was before you did something. So what did you do here? You had peiros, which let's say peiros shel truma, and I was tameh and I touched it. Can you notice that the tuma is on the fruit? Of course not. So if we paskin, it's a machloikis, where the hezek she'eino nikar shmei hezek or lo shmei hezek, where you can't notice the damage on the item, there's a machloikis whether or not it's asur or payable or not. Payable or not, it's definitely asur midrabanan. And but the question is it payable? So one opinion is hezek she'eino nikar is chayiv. The other opinion holds hezek she'eino nikar is pater. But that's midoraisa. Midrabanan, they fined anybody who engaged in hezek she'eino nikar. Why did they fine them? Because they don't want everybody to go ahead and be mitamei taharos. You say, hey, I'm mad at you, so you're a kayin, I'm going to be mitamei your taharos, and I'll get away with murder. So the chachamim didn't allow it to happen. How? By fining you every single time you were mitamei taharot. So the question is here. If you were mitamei taharot, and Beis Din is going to fine you, and now the person died, the person who was mitamei them. So the Gemara says that if he dies, lo kansu bino acharav. Again, we do not fine the children. My timer, hezek she'eino nikar lo shmei hezek. This Gemara is of the opinion, Abaye is of the opinion, that Hezek She'eino Nikar, Lo Shmei Hezek. So therefore, L'didei Kanso Rabbanan, L'brei Lo Kanso Rabbanan. Therefore, the halacha is that we will fine the father, but not fine the child. Not fine the child. Now, the question is, Yeah. The question is Abaye making this statement according to everybody based on the previous Gemara or not? Let's assume we learn like Rashi. In the previous Mishnah, which Rab Zeira brought to answer the question for Rabbi Yirmiyah, according to Rashi, we were only dealing with an Issa Derabbanan. Only dealing with an Issa Derabbanan. And therefore, you can say, by an Issa Derabbanan, we will only kones the father and not the son. But had Rashi believed that cutting the thorns was an Issa Doraisa, maybe the Mishnah would have changed its mind and said that if the father violated an Issa Doraisa by cutting the thorns under those circumstances, maybe we would go ahead and find the child as well. Yet here, according to Abaye, let's assume Hezek She'eino Nikar Shmei Hezek. Let's assume Abaye happens to hold Hezek She'eino Nikar is Lo Shmei Hezek. But is there the question is, if somebody is mazik someone else, even though there may not be any tashlumin, does that mean that it's mutter mid the oraisa to do it? Hezek shein nikar. Do you mean to tell me mid the oraisa there is no isur to be mazik someone else's property because you can't notice the difference? It's just a halachic change in the item. I can understand that there is no tashlumin. That I can understand. But to claim that it's mutter mid the oraisa to go around to be mitame someone else's things, that's a little difficult. Yet Abaye doesn't pay any attention whatsoever to whether or not being mitame taharos is the oraisa or the rabbana. He says naktinan, we assume that the halacha is that you do not find the child. And some Rishonim are a little concerned, how did Abaye make this blanket statement without examining whether or not this case is an Issa D'Oraisa or only an Issa D'Rabbanan? Because the proof text that was brought from the Mishnah, at least according to Rashi, is only an Issa D'Rabbanan. According to Tosfos, an Issa D'Oraisa, so I have no problems how Abaye extends it. But if you would believe, like Rashi, that the proof text is only an Issa D'Rabbanan, under those circumstances, in this case, even though there is no chiyuv tashlumin, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's mutter midoraisa. There are a lot of times when certain acts of damage take place on a oraisa level, and there is no obligation for tashlumin. Happens many times. But it doesn't mean that you're allowed to engage in that particular activity. So that's a question which some Rishon, the Ritva, and I'm sorry I didn't photostat it, he raises that it seems to be that Abaye is making this blanket statement all across the board, regardless whether it's a Doraisa or a Derabbanan. Yes.
Why is there no tashlum? He's depriving him of the...
I understand. But Hezek, according to this opinion, who says Hezek Shein Anikar, has to be visible to the naked eye. Otherwise you can say, the Gemara's expression is, Harei Shel Cholof Onecha. Here's your apple, go and take it. It's okay. Go and eat, go and take it. And if it happens to be Truma, he's going to suffer a real financial loss. He's going to have to use it as fuel. He has to burn it and derive benefit from the fire, but he can't eat the apples, whatever it was. I don't have a good explanation. But the explanation is, Gemara says, because the guy can say, Horatio, here it is, what do you want me? Well, I didn't damage anything, it's right there.
But you made it inaccessible.
I understand. So it might be in the category of grumma. It's grumma bin azakin. I caused the finance, but it's I didn't damage the product. I don't have a good explanation as to why we should say that. Okay, I have an RCBC meeting now, so I'm sorry, I have to stop now. Next week we'll continue regular time, Monday night. If you'll have Marv, I'll stop Marv, then go to the meeting. Okay.